And we thank you that we can hear it, not only with our ears, but with our hearts. Please open our hearts that we may be understanding and that we would apply it to our lives. In your name, Jesus. Our first scripture reading this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Then Samuel addressed all of Israel. I have done as you ask and given you a king. Your king is now your leader. I stand here before you, an old gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I have served as your leader from the time I was a boy to this very day. Did I read the wrong one?
I think I have the wrong. Maybe I put it in there wrong. It's 2 Samuel.
Oh, I was doing so well.
You were doing wonderful. I'm sorry. It's 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel 12? Oh, that's funny. Okay. I'll continue. 2 Samuel. Well, yes. Is it 1 through 7, Ron? Okay.
Yes.
So Nathan rebukes. Okay. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. Okay, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 12. Do not judge others. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you used in judging is the same standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your own eye, when you can't see past the log in your eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Shannon, and sorry about the mix-up on that. This passage today from the Sermon on the Mount is really sometimes a little bit confusing to us, even though on the surface it seems to be very straightforward. And we have to remember that in sermons, people like to hear good illustrations. And probably two of the best sermon illustrations ever are in this one passage. And we need to remember that even though they're familiar to us and they lose their impact because of their familiarity, they're still very, very powerful illustrations. And then also in this passage, we have a real quandary on our hands. What is he talking about throwing pearls before swine and don't give good things, you know, you don't give the best precious things to dogs? And then we have this question about, can we ask for anything of God, and will he buy us that Mercedes-Benz like the song goes? And then finally we end up with the golden rule. So I'm going to try and solve some of these questions for you today as I quickly move through this passage, which is a wonderful thing here in the Sermon on the Mount. And we have to remember the Sermon on the Mount was one sermon, and we're just taking it little bit by bit. But if you read it from beginning to end out loud, it takes about 18 to 20 minutes. So it really was one sermon given. And it starts off with, do not judge or you will be judged. Now, I think that this is probably the most misquoted verse in the entire Bible. And I suspect that every one of you has either heard this or maybe you have even used it yourself. Right? How many times have you heard when somebody is perhaps criticizing somebody else, heard someone, or maybe you have said, you're not supposed to, the Bible says, do not judge. Or perhaps sometimes when you may have used that yourself, or maybe someone, when you're trying to correct someone, someone says it back to you as a way of deflecting the criticism, right? Well, that is not what Jesus intends in this passage. He is not saying that we are never to judge. But we are not to judge in a critical way. And we need to be careful about how we criticize or try and correct other people. Now, how can I be so confident that this passage does not mean we are not to judge? Well, if we just continue reading the story about the log in the eye and the speck, Jesus is giving us a corrective and saying there are times when, in fact, we must judge. And then when he has this statement about don't give dogs what is sacred and don't throw your pearls to pigs, he is saying we have to be discerning and making judgments and decisions as we do things. So he is addressing this right here in this passage, that there are appropriate times and ways to correct or evaluate or even judge another person. So it is not a blanket prohibition against judging. And in fact, if you go to chapter 18 of Matthew, there he actually lays out a requirement. We must evaluate and correct one another. And if people do not listen, we need to then take witnesses and try and do the correction. And if that even doesn't work, then it needs to be brought before the church. So Jesus is not here laying down the absolute prohibition, do not judge, which so many of us have heard. The Bible says we're not supposed to judge, and that ends the discussion. No. That is a misunderstanding and a misquoting and a misuse of the Bible. Now, let's look first at this sermon illustration about the speck and the log, okay? It loses some of its impact because we've heard it so many times. But Jesus' father had an occupation. Anybody remember what that was? Carpenter. He was raised in a carpentry shop. And so he's using an example that he grew up with and that others in the town would know. All the villagers would know this. It'd be like me using a fishing example, right? This is something that was common to them. And to translate it into our modern day English, we would say, don't look for the piece of sawdust that is stuck in somebody else's eye when you got a 2x4 in your own. Now, what does that mean? He says, first take the 2x4 out of your own eye. We need to look in the mirror and evaluate ourselves and our motive before we want to start looking to correct somebody else. Now, both people need something taken out of their eye, right? Someone needs we need the 2x4 taken out, but our neighbor actually needs the speck to be removed as well. So we have to, in fact, evaluate and correct and maybe judge and help them remove that speck. but we've got to look in the mirror and do our self-evaluation first. Because that's usually where the problem, well, I don't know, I hate to put this on you. In my own life, usually when I start doing the self-evaluation, which I don't like to do very much, do you? I don't like doing the self-evaluation, but when I do, I usually find I need to correct myself first. So, that is what Jesus is addressing. Don't be hypercritical of other people, because the same standard that you are using in evaluating them will be used against you. That's this measure for measure. Again, he's using a marketplace illustration for them to make it clear to them. And when we are hypercritical, and it's usually about things that we look down our noses at other people about, when we're hypercritical like that, one of the other things that we're tending to do is we're really putting ourselves in the place of God, aren't we? We're trying to put ourselves so far above the other person as we're criticizing them or evaluating them that we're basically saying, move over, God, I want to take your job. And that, of course, is our huge sinful behavior on our behalf. So we have to be careful as we evaluate other people and look at our own motives first, do our own self-evaluation, and then if someone really does need some correction, we need to do it with a spirit of gentleness. Then we get to the passage about don't give to dogs what is sacred, and don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they'll trample them under their feet, and they'll turn and tear you to pieces. What's that all about? Shannon, you want to explain it? I mean, you read it. Well, one of the things, this also causes us a little difficulty, because we have difficulty today, as I look around and know many of you in the congregation, most of you really don't come from a Jewish background. We come from a Gentile background. And Jesus is truly addressing here the differences between his Galilean neighbors, who are almost all Jewish faith, and they understand their relationship with God, and he's trying to teach them the ways of the kingdom. And he's basically saying, this gospel message, this good news that I'm bringing you about how, and that's the whole Sermon on the Mount, is how to live as kingdom people, kingdom of God people. He's saying it needs to be brought first to you within the Jewish faith. It is a precious gift I'm giving you. And it is not to be thrown away to the Gentiles who will not understand the ways of God. Now, we find that to be very difficult, because that puts us in the category of Jesus said, don't bring the gospel message to us. But we're forgetting one thing when we start reading it that way. Jesus is doing the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew's gospel at the beginning of his teaching ministry in Galilee. This is at the beginning, and he's saying, he's talking to his disciples, and he said, we need to start this message within our faith of the Jew, within the Jewish faith. It is a precious gift. Now, his death and resurrection changes everything. At the end of Matthew's gospel, which we will get there, we have the Great Commission. And many of you know the Great Commission by heart. After his resurrection, he says, go to all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It changes with his death and resurrection. He starts his ministry among the Jewish people. He insists here that his disciples do the same, but then it changes at his resurrection, and it's good news for everybody. So we have to understand, first, this gospel is to be preached to the Jewish people because they have a better chance of understanding these things. After the resurrection, it expands to all. But the core thing for us to take home from this little passage is how sacred and precious the gospel message is. Don't forget that. We know it. We accept it. Many of us take it almost for granted. Don't do that. It is a precious gift to us. And it's a precious gift that we can give to others as we tell them the good news about Jesus. And then he moves into prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. God wants to give you good things. And then he uses this second sermon illustration, which I think is just absolutely marvelous. All of you parents, even though you are sinners and even as evil as you are, is what he says. We don't really like to hear that very often, but it's true. Even as sinful as we are, as imperfect, let's put it that way. That's a little easier to accept, right? As imperfect as we are, when our children ask us for food, we don't give them something that's bad for them. Well, sometimes when we use fast food, I guess we do. But our intention is not to do something harmful to our kids. And so he says, if you, as imperfect as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who is absolutely perfect in every way, will give you what's best for you? Now, just as we, as Crystal was praying for Song and Amy, I was thinking about that in the midst of that prayer. We ask for one thing. We ask for the miracle of healing in Song's body. We've been asking that for about a year now since his initial diagnosis. I mean, when he was living here before they went back down to Seattle, that's what we've been praying for. And God's answer so far has been no. I have something better in store for Song. That's hard for us to accept, isn't it? But God has something in store for Song. He has heard our prayers for healing, and he is doing it his way. And the good things the things we ask for God, God always has the perfect answer for us, even if we don't understand that. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. So then, what do we do with this? He's doing this in the context of these relationships. And he's doing this in the concept of our own self-evaluation. And so when we look in the mirror, we need to evaluate ourselves and say, okay, what is it, God, that you would have me ask for of you? Kind of like the passage from 2 Samuel, not 1 Samuel, chapter 7. We know the story. David sins with Bathsheba, murders her husband. And then he goes on as if everything's okay. And Nathan the prophet confronts him by telling him the story. And what does David do? He judges the man in the story, doesn't he? And so Nathan uses his same method of judgment and says, "You are the guy." Now, Nathan is holding up the mirror and saying, the judgment you brought against this person in the story, you're the one. Now, judge yourself. So, all of this leads together towards the golden rule at the very end of this. The golden rule, of course, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I'm glad the puppets didn't say, and do it first, you know, with the hitting your brother, right? That's not the way it works. It's what is it that we really want for ourselves in our relationships with others, and we can help create that by doing it first. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, I would challenge you, do the self-evaluation. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. What is it that you need to ask God for in your own life? What are your own shortcomings that you need to ask the Lord to try and repair? How could you love others more? You can ask God to help you love others more. You can ask God about the golden rule. How can I better serve other people? How can I do unto them? How can I improve my relationships? How can I end Help me end my critical spirit of others. I don't know what it is that you need to be asking the Lord for, but I would encourage you, continue seeking after the Lord to help you become more of the person that He wants you to be. Ask, seek, knock. Inquire, Lord, what is it that I need to change in my life that you would have me change? All of this is with respect to our relationships with other people. He wants us to show His love to others. How can, Lord, help me do that? Because as we work on our relationship with other people, and as we ask and seek and knock at the door of God's throne room, we're also working on our relationship with Him. He loves us with an infinite love. He wants the best for every one of us, and He offers Himself, and He's available. All we have to do is ask. Ask, and He will give us the perfect gift that you need right now. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank You that we may ask and You will give. We thank You, Lord, that You encourage us not to look critically at others, but to love them. And sometimes in that love, we do need to evaluate and correct, but we have to examine ourselves first. So for everyone seated here today, I pray, Lord, that we can ask of You what it is that we need to change in our own life to become the person that You would have us be. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.